Good morning, Vietnam!
Are you stalking me? Because that would be super.
So no more running. I aim to misbehave.
Hey Jeff, we're back again this week, and the last show I forgot to do something being a little bit of a twit.
You forgot to introduce yourself.
I did, and shame on me. This is Shane McDonald, and with me again is
Jeff Reynolds.
And we're here to bring you another great show. We've got a couple of good titles lined up, a couple from Sony Pictures, and the rest are from Fox. So without any further ado, we're going to kick things off this week. So Jeff, take it away.
No, this isn't mine.
Whose is it? Oh, Sarah Jessica Parker's.
What?
Not kidding.
I
did not know Sarah Jessica Parker lived in your building.
Oh my god, and look, it's Dolce.
Oh my gosh, I can return it tomorrow.
Let me look. Ah, yes.
Your size, what are the odds?
Don't be jealous. You know, this might actually look cute on me. You should totally wear it tonight.
Well, yeah, of course. I'm gonna need some chocolate now.
Lindsay Lohan's latest flick, Just My Luck. As you could tell from the previews, it looked hokey, it looked cheesy, it looked predictable, and it was, but gosh darn it, I found it enchanting.
Well, just my luck, I got to see Lindsay Lohan in another movie. That was a pretty bad joke. I couldn't resist, I couldn't come up with anything more clever than that, but it was a pretty good movie. It's a typical teen movie.
It is. Very, very reminiscent of the Freaky Friday sort of premise, except with dumb luck instead of switching bodies.
Yeah, pretty much the same sort of thing. You know, luck switched by kissing. You know, for young girls, I don't know if it's appropriate to show a girl going around kissing 10 guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Or more. I lost count after two.
Yeah, but regardless, I did find myself laughing at points.
Yeah, Chris Pine's character was pretty good. He was
He played a good kind of geeky, down on his luck character, and very optimistic, and came across really well when doing the change in still being that nice guy with success in the end.
Yeah, exactly. So everything played off nicely. It was pretty good story, but it's just a different version of the same story that we've seen 150,000 times and then some.
Yeah, I agree with that.
As a DVD reviewer, Jeff, I'm finding it hard to find new ways to describe the audio and the video on certain DVDs, and this one here was all right. It wasn't quite as good as it could have been, and I don't know if that was the transfer or if it was the filming itself.
I personally think it was probably the filming, because the outdoor scenes were a little saturated, a little blown out, so it's quite possible that it's the filming. I don't think that kind of effect comes across in a transfer consistently.
So. Yeah, that's right. The audio pretty good, especially during the couple of music scenes that they have in here.
Exactly. Really. A good concert good concert piece. Not a lot of 5.1 rear surround play.
But this type of movie doesn't really need it either.
Exactly. Yeah.
Extras, only a couple on this DVD. I was rather disappointed with the amount. And you have to flip the disc to watch the extras. That really annoys me. Put them on one side.
I agree. Well, that's mainly because the disc itself comes with the full screen and the widescreen.
Yeah, the full screen version. Who really watches that anyway these days?
I don't know. My folks do, I think.
Fools. Your folks. I am calling them fools.
I hope my dad listens to this. So we had the McFly behind the scenes featurette. Now, McFly is not a reference to Back to the Future, as much as I wanted it to be.
No, it's an actual band from the UK, and I hope those were original songs, because they were pretty decent.
They were actually really good. I'm actually going to look into them.
Yeah, and Chris's character at one point says they sound a little bit like the Beatles, and I'm going to agree with that, because I found they kind of did, but they're like a new age Beatles.
Yeah, there was a reference to them being a cross between the Beatles and something, and I can't remember for the life of me what that other band was.
Yeah, it was something more alternative-ish.
Yeah, but they were good. If anything, and you want to check out, the band, if you're into music, pick up the DVD and just skip to the scene, the concert scenes.
Yeah, go rent it and check it out. And then there's a whole bunch of deleted extended scenes. I found them personally just absolutely useless, so that they were a good cut for me.
Yeah, but the one thing I think could have stayed in was the bank scene. There's a scene in the bank where, the character Chris Pine plays is going to cash his first advance with his new job, and Lindsay Lohan is having trouble actually getting anything from any credit cards or anything, and she looks to actually try and sign up for a loan, basically. And the character who played the account manager who was dealing with her with regards to this loan, Stephen Tobolowsky, from such great titles as Spaceballs and Groundhog Day.
And Garfield.
And Garfield, yeah. And Memento and Little Black Book.
He's been in a lot of movies, a lot of movies. I recognize him right away. He's one of those great character actors.
Yeah, and, you know, that was a decent scene. I think it could have stayed in.
It could have, but I think it would have thrown off the whole film. Well, not the whole film, but I think it would have one too many gags. I think that's why it was cut.
Yeah, possibly. There's no commentary with it from the director, so we don't know why it was cut, but ultimately it was cut for a reason. I personally would have liked to have seen it in the film.
And then there's the Look of Luck feature, which is kind of absolutely, I don't know why it's on there.
Yeah, it's just a quick collection of crew interviews talking about the costuming of of the movie.
It really had nothing to do with Luck?
No.
I didn't find anyway. I don't know. Maybe I tuned it out a little bit, but all in all, I think this is a rental unless you're a big Lohan fan.
Exactly. The one thing I do want to mention, though, is that it had a good message in the end, that message of sacrificed for another person, but it was way too brief.
Yeah, it was too brief. So bottom line is, don't try to get everything for yourself. Help other people out, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we actually extended it more than the movie did.
You okay?
You have any idea why your informant wanted to have you killed?
No, I've been wondering the same thing.
You might want to figure that one out, Pete.
All right, up next, we've got another flick from Fox. We've got The Sentinel. It's got Michael Douglas, Kiefer Sutherland, Eva Longoria, Kim Basinger, and a couple of other actors that you've probably seen in other movies as well. Kiefer Sutherland and Michael Douglas and Eva Longoria, they're all members of the Secret Service. And they uncover, or Michael Douglas' character uncovers a plot to assassinate the president. And if we go any further, we're probably going to encroach on what the movie really tries to pull off here, and that's that there's a traitor inside the Secret Service.
Exactly. I didn't find this one as suspenseful as I anticipated.
No, April picked out April's my wife, and she was able to pick out the bad guy the first time he was shown on the screen. She went, "That's the bad guy."
Yeah.
Right off the hop.
If you're observant enough, the way it was shot, then you can notice a very, very subtle shot of the bad guy. And they did it intentionally, according to the commentary. But it was just subtle enough that if you are observant, you will be able to pick it out.
Yeah, she picked it up and I completely missed it. Of course, you know, I was writing up notes at the same time, so makes it a little hard to pay full attention to a movie. So I'm going to go back and revisit it and see if I can pick that up. But not a bad movie, not fantastic, though.
Exactly. But I do have to say it's probably one of the better gunslinger flicks I've seen in a while.
According to the commentary, which was a great commentary in my opinion, and I know we're jumping from the normal format and I really don't care, but... they really did the research on the Secret Service. They used the same cars, they used the same suits, they used the same earpiece and microphone, and a lot of the lingo. They brought in retired ex-Secret Service agents to help out with this movie, and I think it really increased the realism. And although we're not from the States and we don't really know what it's like in that area, I think the way they explained it and their enthusiasm for the project, they got it pretty close.
Yeah, they expressly let us know that they tried to get it as accurate as possible without giving away anything detrimental to national security. Like, they were probably literally teetering on the line because that's how much the Secret Service actually cooperated.
They got a lot, and I was actually quite shocked to see how much they were able to get for this movie. Do you watch 24?
I don't.
You don't? So that makes two of us in probably all of DVD land that hasn't watched 24, but I read that there's some similarities between Kiefer's character in this movie and Jack Bauer on 24.
Yeah, that's the first thing actually I thought of when I started watching Kiefer in his role in this film is, you know what, this is probably very similar to 24, and a lot of people tell me it is.
And when I first turned on the movie, another interesting thing my wife said as soon as she saw Michael Douglas, because she had no idea who was in this movie, is she goes, "Is he the president or is he the cop?" Because obviously he's been typecast just a little bit.
He has played the president a couple of times, eh?
Yeah, he's played the president a couple of times and a cop a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot. That seems to be his major forte, if you will.
So the look of the film?
I like the look of the film. It was kind of gritty yet clean at the same time. Hard to explain, but it was like there was a slightly dark hue over the whole movie to tone it down.
I agree. I liked that. It kind of gave it an eerie kind of quality. Like you don't, it wasn't as clean as the Secret Service could be, which reflected the fact that there, you know, there was a traitor in there.
Yeah.
It accented the plot line very nicely. As far as the video transfer, I did notice. Now I'm not sure if it's because we got a the more compressed version. We got a screener copy.
Yeah, Fox sent us a copy of the original, so they actually gave us a backup, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and
there's a little bit of compression artifacts, and then
I noticed some haloing in the darker scenes. You know, the lighter colored walls in the darker scenes, there was some haloing.
Yeah, the haloing would be the transfer itself. I don't think it'd have anything to do with the compression. That's okay. More where the artifact come in. But audio on this really supported what they were doing.
Yeah,
really supported.
Yeah, and with any gun firing movie, there's always good play in the back speakers with ricochets and contact. And
yeah, when they were playing back those voice clips, too, of the people who were threatening to kill the president and stuff like that, that was great because it really filled the entire room.
Exactly. It would bounce from one speaker to the next, and it was very randomized. It wasn't circular, and it really had you kind of turning your head but keeping your eye on the screen at the same time.
Made you wonder if somebody was behind you. Great audio. Now, we already talked about the commentary. But the commentary was by the director, Clark Johnson. And is he from Toronto? Is that what he was saying in the commentary?
I don't think he's from Toronto.
But he loves Toronto.
But he loves Toronto, yeah. He loves shooting in Toronto.
Okay, and the screenwriter, George Nolfi, who also does the commentary on the alternate ending and the deleted scenes. Now, don't get your hopes all high and a bunch for the alternate ending, because all they do is insert a 10-second clip.
Yeah, it's a very, very brief conversation with Michael Douglas and Kim Basinger instead of his director at work. Basically just sets up kind of like the hopeful there's a happy ending for...
One of the characters,
yeah. Yeah. So...
But I was expecting something a little more dramatic after watching the movie, and then I watched that, and I was like, you gotta be kidding. That's not an alternate ending, that's an extended ending.
That would be more like a deleted scene, I think.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. I found a lot of the other extras, though, that were on this DVD ended up becoming very repetitive.
After watching the commentary, a lot of it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
But then again, how many people will go out and watch commentary versus the special features? So
that's right. Yeah,
kind of covering all their bases.
But even in the special features, I found they started repeating stuff. Like in two of them, or maybe if it was even three of them, they talked about how good of a shot that Eva Longoria was, and that because she grew up in Texas and her daddy took her to the gun range.
Yeah, and for those of you who probably won't listen to the special features, Eva Longoria was able to outshoot pretty much every guy on site. And she was keeping up with the retired Secret Service agents.
They were shooting targets, though, not people.
Yeah, let us be clear on that.
Yeah. They do become redundant, but there is some interesting information, especially about the Secret Service, that they could tell us without going into great detail again. It's almost like they were spoon-feeding us just a little bit, and they were like saying, take the spoon, and then would slap our hands when we reach for it.
Yeah, exactly. The one special feature that pretty much covers everything that is repetitive in the others is the 13-minute Secret Service Building a Tradition of Excellence. They really kind of go right to the beginnings of the Secret Service history, and they give you the history, they give you the responsibilities, the recruitment factors, the training.
How it's changed over the years.
Exactly. Yeah. And the cast and crew, along with the retired Secret Service agents, all have a lot to say with regards to that. And they all seem to express a deep respect for one another because of what they were each able to give each other in this production. Like the retired Secret Service agents were able to really respect the actors for treating this training as something, you know, that they really, really respect. And likewise, the actors were really respectful of the Secret Service agents for their duties.
Yeah, it was that was probably the best feature, without a doubt.
I agree.
Next to the commentary. Yes. Really enjoyed the commentary on this movie. This is probably a purchase. I don't know if you're going to rewatch it multiple times, but this is one that when you're just sitting around one day, you'll be like, what should I watch? I'm going to watch The Sentinel again. It's one of those.
Yeah. I'm going to gladly keep it in my collection just because there's a couple of really good scenes with Kiefer and Michael Douglas.
Oh, yeah. They played well off of each other in this movie. It was great. Yeah. So definitely this one's recommended.
It's recommended.
From both of us, yes.
Yeah.
Good news.
I'm adopted.
Good one. No, thanks to my technically proficient and charmingly amusing description, Saul, Irv, the dealer, said we probably damaged the parking gear interlock and the emergency brake. We had that little mishap, you know, when Mom distracted me. We were pulling out of the driveway, but the real brakes, you know, the driving brakes, ones we use when we're moving, they're fine. They're not just fine, they're brilliant. All we have to do is every time we park the RV, we have to put two big blocks or chocks under the rear wheel. We'll be perfect. Thanks for the help. Okay, everybody, come on. It'll be fun. Let's go. Miles and smiles.
This is the worst I've ever been treated. Where do you get married?
Thank you.
Everybody, let's get aboard the big rolling turd.
Next, we hit the road with Robin Williams and his mock National Lampoon family with RV.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought when I saw this was, great, we're getting to see National Lampoons again, but this time with Robin Williams instead of Chevy Chase.
Exactly. And I, you know what? I rather enjoyed this film. It was fun.
As dumb and silly as it looked in the trailer, Robin Williams can take any movie and make it funny.
He can. And the best part about this is I haven't seen him do this in a long time, where he just takes a straight character, a straight guy, you know, somebody you would bump into on the street or run into at your local shopping center, and he's still funny. You know, he's not over the top funny. Like, you know, Robin Williams to be this really big, energetic actor. And here he's just a regular guy and put into precarious situations on the road. And he still comes across.
Yeah, it's more the one-liners and his yo, yo, yo. You'll know what scene I'm talking about in the trailer park. But it was pretty good. I was really impressed. And then you've got Jojo Levesque, who's a big, big music artist.
Yeah, see, I hadn't heard of Jojo before.
Yeah, I just watched Aquamarine a couple of weeks back, and that's the first time I heard of her. And she's a pretty decent actress. She's definitely on her way, I think.
Yeah, she does actually a really good job of reacting, which is a big thing in comedy, is a lot of reaction. I was surprised to find that she was actually a musical talent, because she's able to bridge both.
Especially during her singing sequence in the RV, where she sounded like absolute crap. And she said that was a lot of fun in one of the commentaries.
Yeah, she said she gets to make an idiot of herself, and she had fun doing it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like you said, it had Robin Williams playing straight lace, but being funny. Like, the dialogue that he comes up with is just, it's awesome.
Yeah, we should mention at this point, we're talking a lot about Robin Williams, but the rest of the cast is, it's an incredible ensemble consisting of Robin Williams, Jeff Daniels, Cheryl Hines, Kristen Chenoweth, Jojo Levesque, we already mentioned, and Josh Hutcherson.
Great cast. Great cast.
They all work so well together.
Yeah, you could almost believe that it was a real family. Almost.
Almost.
Almost. Hard to believe that they would be that angry at each other. I don't know any families that are, but pretty good. There were some definitely good moments, especially with the RV. The RV was basically a cast member in this show.
Oh, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Especially with the director's face painted on the side of it.
Yeah. Way to go, Barry. Great old Barry Sonnenfeld. Great director, especially for comedies.
So how about the visual? What did you think of the transfer?
I thought this movie looked good. It didn't look real, though. It was, I found, overly bright, but it looked good.
Yeah, and in the commentary, Barry touches on the fact that a lot of the sky, when they were shooting in Vancouver, was dark and overcast and rainy. So what they had to do was they had to actually retransfer the sky. And he's actually, in the commentary, he expresses how it does look a little fake. And that was a mistake that he didn't catch in time for the final cut.
Well, there we go. Explained. I'm sure other people will listen to the commentary and get that. But yeah, that must have been one of the spots that I skipped over.
Yeah, a lot of the sky, especially through the windows, was digitally reprinted. But other than that, I thought it was a visually stunning film. I found the colors, aside from the bright sky at times, I like, you know, it had a lot of nice colors, a lot of greenery.
Especially the scenery in Colorado.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it kind of helped lighten the
mood. Which was in Vancouver.
Yeah.
but the scenery is just absolutely stunning.
It is. It really is. So I was happy. I was happy with the video.
I was too. The audio, well, it's typical audio for this type of movie.
Yeah, you know what? I was surprised. It had a lot more surround in it than I expected.
They threw it in when it was needed, but otherwise it was pretty much not non-existent.
It's definitely not something to show off your system with.
Yeah. They've got some great features on here, especially the one where they focus on Robin Williams and just how kooky he is. Like, everybody loves working when Robin Williams is there, the cast, the crew, because he brings so much energy to the project.
Yeah, it's only 5 minutes, and, you know, the cast and crew talk about their experience working with Robin. They're really, really happy with his energy and whatnot. But they show a lot, like probably more than half of it is just showing clips of him.
Yeah, just goofing around behind the scenes. There's a gag reel too, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. There's I found in the gag reel, there's more of the actors laughing than there is actual laughs for us.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're in the right mood, I guess a lot of laughter from a bunch of people on screen can give you the giggles.
That's right. We should probably mention too that the commentary is a Telestrator commentary.
Yeah. The Telestrator is, it was weird because I saw the potential for it, but he didn't really execute that well with it.
Yeah, one movie that I found used the Telestrator commentary very well was Waiting, where they would actually pause the movie and circle stuff and point it out.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch that. I haven't watched
it. Yeah, it's on the second disc. It's on the two-disc edition, so it's really, they do the entire movie like that. It's awesome, especially when they're, the games that they play.
Yeah.
They actually have pictures on the wall in the restaurant. You probably saw them really fast, like the goat and stuff like that, but they have other ones, like the bat wing and everything is up there. It's hilarious.
Oh, really? Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
So, yeah, this one didn't quite use it to its full potential, but I think it would have needed a second disc to be able to pull that off.
Yeah. Another thing is Barry Sonnenfeld isn't exactly the most interesting person to listen to. He's very monotone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, the scoop on poop. That's an actual title of a feature. I know it doesn't sound right. What did you think? That's one of the key moments in the film.
Well, for my notes, all I really wrote down was a discussion on fecal explosion scene. And that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to ruin the moment of the movie. You know, there's nothing really exciting about what they have to say about the whole situation.
No, it's kind of neat, though, to see how they built the whole scene to pull it off.
That's true, yeah.
That was pretty cool. But, yeah, this I'm definitely going to recommend this one. I don't know if you're going to want to buy it, but you're going to want to see it.
Yeah, you're going to want to see it for sure.
Especially if you love comedy.
I want to go pro se. I'm going to be my own lawyer.
Do you know what pro se means?
Sorta.
What do you mean, sorta?
If you defend yourself, it's called pro se. I'm going to defend myself.
Mr. DiNorcio, in a case of this magnitude, I don't think it's advisable.
That's Sixth Amendment right. I mean, I got the right to defend myself. Am I correct, Judge?
Yes, yeah, you're correct. Have you had any legal experience?
Well, sorta.
What do you mean, sorta?
I've been in prison half my life. Sometimes I think I had too much legal experience.
All right, we got another one of these Fox flicks here. And Jeff, are you a gangster?
No, I'm not a gangster. I'm a gagster.
Wrong movie, buddy.
No, well, it's walking. Not the wrong movie. It's the wrong actor.
That's what I mean. No walking in this movie.
Although he could have pulled it off.
He could have pulled it off. Because walking can pull off anything. So
exactly.
It doesn't really matter what he's in. But we're talking about, this one's been out for a little while, but I really wanted to cover this one because I personally am a fan of Vin Diesel. And I know a lot of people out there are probably hating me just for saying that now, and others are just loving me.
Well, I can tell you right now, Shane, before seeing this film, I would have been in that category. I would have been like, okay, what's wrong with you? Yeah. But he made me a believer in this one.
Vin can act. He's made some, I won't say poor career choices, but he tried to take it to a different place than I think where his skills could bring him.
Yeah, he went for the, you know,
the no-brainer action guy.
Yeah, yeah, the Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, I wouldn't call lacking. Bruce Willis a no-brainer, but well, no, yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Stallone.
Yeah, well, I was gonna add, you know, but without that, without a panache for the the style.
I don't know if it's all him, though. I think he might have just went the wrong direction with the director he chose to go with on two of those movies. And I'm not going to say any more than that because I'm not a fan of his work. But Vin Diesel, directed by Sidney Lumet, great film. But he really did a wonderful job directing this movie. And actually, it brings back Vin Diesel has acted with Linus Roach was also in the Chronicles of Riddick. He was one of the Necromongers. So they've worked together before. But there's a really great cast in this film.
Well, three people in particular stood out for me. Obviously, Vin Diesel, I had mentioned that already.
Yeah.
But Ron Silver, who plays the judge.
Yeah.
Really, really great actor. I remember him from Time Cop.
not a good movie.
I enjoyed it, but yeah. I'm a sci-fi geek, so.
Well, Time Cop, it was all right, but. Yeah.
We're not reviewing that.
We're not talking about Van Damme here.
Today. And, well, we could be if we were talking about Vin Diesel's action flicks. Anyway, back on topic here. And also Peter Dinklage, who plays the attorney that's representing some, or one of the. One of Vin Diesel's fellow gangsters in the film, the vertically challenged gentleman.
Yes, that's the nice way to put it. Basically, he gives Vin's character a lot of advice because he's the only one who decided not to have a lawyer. He defended himself and ended up getting most of his friends and his family off, as he calls them. So.
Yeah. So those were the three performances that really stood out for me. The rest of them were your typical.
I thought Linus Roach was pretty good, though. Like, he brought a lot of emotion to his character.
Yeah, he was the prosecuting attorney.
He was the prosecuting attorney.
Yeah, there was a couple of good scenes where...
he lost it.
He lost it, and that was entertaining, yeah. But all in all, I mean, as far as the film goes, I didn't find it to be a very suspenseful courtroom drama like the previews had suggested it would be. But I think Vin Diesel's performance made up for that.
Yeah,
for that
this is a dramedy. Yeah, definitely a dramedy, because Vin Diesel pulls off a lot of gags in this movie, and he does them well.
And he's straight-faced about it.
Yeah, very straight-faced. I think this was probably his best acting film since probably Saving Private Ryan. The movie looked good, too. I like how they kept it kind of, the video was kind of dark. Like, not dark, but again, almost like it had sunglasses on when they were filming it, just to give it that dark courtroom feel.
Yeah, it felt kind of musky.
Yeah.
You know, well, the idea behind it is that, you know, they're in court for like 200 and some days, or 500 and some days, sorry.
Yeah.
And so you really got that feel that you were in the courtroom for that long. It's almost like they actually went through the entire thing and filmed the entire 500 days, and you got that feel of it.
Exactly. So the really well done the video on this one, and I didn't notice any flaws. Did you pick up on anything?
No, I didn't pick up any visual detail that stood out, so...
And this is a mostly dialogue-driven movie. There's only one gun sequence, and I think there was a silencer involved. It's been a while since I watched it, but...
Yeah. Well, there was a couple of gun sequences. One right at the beginning, and then... And it did involve... No, it didn't involve a silencer.
I don't remember. It's been a couple of weeks since I've seen it, and I've watched so many movies since then. But that was a good scene for Vin.
Yeah. And it's right at the beginning of the film. It actually sets up nicely for the rest of the film. It really gives you an idea of how straight-faced comedic timing is part of his repertoire.
Yeah, and it's scary. Like, I think if he makes a couple of wise choices in the next couple of years, he can definitely climb back up that box office chart and be one of the top draws.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what direction his career takes from here.
The extras, they're kind of interesting on this DVD. They're basically conversation with Sidney Lumet, and there's what? How many of them are there? Seven or eight?
Yeah, there's about seven or eight of them. And they're each about maybe 20, 25 seconds long.
About that.
Basically two sentences each.
I would have said 30, 35 seconds, but yeah, they're really short, and they're basically on topics like on working with Vin Diesel or on Jackie Donoskriovskio. I can't say the name.
But
Donoskio, that's what it is.
Yeah. I don't know if they should have put that on there. Maybe it just wasn't ready, or I don't know. It just, if you push the play all button, it's really poorly edited. If you watch them individually, it's not really worth the hassle of going through the menu to choose each of them for such a short period of time.
As interesting as they were, I don't know if he really wanted to do it. I think it might have been a contractual obligation. And he's like, fine, I'm going to give you the least amount of info I can. And that's pretty much all that's on here. So there's no commentary, which is unfortunate because it would have been nice to hear Vin talk about it. But I recommend this This is a definite watcher.
Yeah, definite rent. For those of you who don't like Vin Diesel, rent it, please.
Give it a shot. Give it a shot. Yeah.
Yeah, give him, you know, give him a seventh or eighth chance. And you might be surprised. Like I said, I've never been a big Vin Diesel fan, and thanks to this, I'm actually looking forward to seeing what he does.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, and hopefully he can get his next movie off the ground.
Yeah.
Which sounds really interesting. A barbarian movie.
Well, bottom line is, if you're going to pick this one up for your collection to own, I think the definite gem on this is Vin Diesel's performance.
Agreed, 100%. And that concludes episode 12.
Already?
Already, we're
done. Time just flew.
Yeah, I can't believe we've only been sitting here for 30-some odd minutes.
Yeah.
And we're already done.
Oh, wow. I'm going to miss you, Shane.
Yeah, me too. Now we have to go back to our daily mundane lives. So, as usual, folks, we're going to ask for you to vote for us on Podcast Alley, and I'm throwing out a challenge this week. I want all our listeners to tell at least one person about our show.
Hey, there you go.
Yes.
I want you to write down the web address.
Okay, so if you're one of those people who are coming in that are being told about the show for the first time, so you can visit us, www.thedvdmarquee.com. I want you to post a comment there and let us know that somebody told you about the show and what you think about it.
Yeah, that is a very reasonable challenge. In fact, I'm going to go out and find at least 5 people to listen.
There we go. See, I've already told all my one friends and he's not my podcast partner. I'm just kidding, of course, but we're issuing that challenge, so let's see if we can get a lot more people listening to this show. Vote for us at Podcast Alley. You can just go to the webpage, www.thedvdmarquee.com, and right on the main page, you just enter your email address, and they'll send you an email that you have to reply to or click on a link in the email, which will give us a vote. And that concludes another episode. So special thanks goes out to the Home Theater Forum for helping us get the show off the ground, for iCraveDVD.com, and to my hosting partner over here, Jeff Reynolds. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Shane, once again.
And we're out.
Check you later,
dude.
And we're clear.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah.